minutes, all day, all of the night. Local news, timeless hits, WRJN. So this 13-year-old kid in Texas accidentally swallowed the squeaky toy. You know that squeaker thing in a dog toy that is annoying when you hear the dog play with it all the time? Well, every time he breathed or laughed, he made that squeaky sound because he had it in his throat. And the doctors and nurses were laughing at it. Luckily, they got it out. He's okay. If that happened to me, I'd hope my doctors wouldn't be laughing at me while I'm squeaking. Get it out of my throat. 8 o'clock on this Columbus Day at WRJN. Let's check news in the morning. See what's going on. News and timeless hits. WRJN.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile.
I'm Christopher Cruz, a man from Nevada with a shotgun, loaded handgun, and fake passports in his black SUV, has been arrested near a Trump rally southeast of Los Angeles. Riverside County, California Sheriff Chad Bianco.
He showed up with multiple passports with different names, an unregistered vehicle with fake license plate, and loaded firearms.
Authorities are not treating this as an assassination attempt. CBS's Scott McFarland says the man's been identified as 49-year-old Vern Miller.
In a statement to CBS News, Miller calls the allegations a bunch of lies. Miller says he's a staunch supporter of the former president and was invited to the rally. The suspect facing two misdemeanor charges. He's been released pending future court dates.
In battleground Arizona, Trump promised a cheering crowd he will close the country's borders if he's elected to a second term.
When I win on November 5th, the migrant invasion ends and the restoration of our country begins.
In North Carolina, Vice President Harris poked at Trump for refusing to debate her again.
Why does his staff want him to hide away? One must question, are they afraid that people will see that he is too weak and unstable to lead America?
The U.S. is sending a ballistic missile defense system to Israel, along with 100 troops to operate it. CBS's Charlie Daggett has that.
That THAAD deployment comes even as Iran's foreign minister warned on X that the U.S. is, quote, putting lives of its troops at risk by deploying them to operate the U.S. missile defense system.
A military drill is China's response to a statement by Taiwan's president that the Democratic Island nation will resist any attempt at annexation. From Beijing, the BBC Stephen McDonnell has details on the drill being conducted by China's People's Liberation Army.
According to the PLA, this is a practice run for attacking that island from all sides, seizing control of access to key ports, key landmass areas, and also taking out sea targets.
The Los Angeles Dodgers have beaten the New York Mets 9-0 in Game 1 of the National League Championship Series.
Floodgates opening. Hernandez in to score. Kiermaier in to score. Otani's coming in as well. Betts has unloaded the bases. And a Game 1 party.
The game was on Fox. MIT professors Darren Acemoglu and Simon Johnson and University of Chicago professor James Robinson have been awarded the Nobel Prize in Economics today. The three won for their research into wealth inequality between nations. The jury said their work shows the relationship between societal institutions and prosperity. This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Get the savings you want on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/choice5G and start saving today.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles with a quick news update. A fund has been established for the unborn child of a Racine firefighter. Maxwell Bear died in a motorcycle crash last week. A procession honoring Bear was held over the weekend. The Racine City Council's boycott appears to be ending. There are votes scheduled for tomorrow night on proposals aimed at changing how the council sets its agenda. If the council can return to normal operations, they'll address several items at tomorrow's meeting, including votes related to the Bell City Square redevelopment project and parking fee waivers for holiday shopping. A major police training event is scheduled this week at Westridge Elementary in Mount Pleasant. Police say the exercise won't impact traffic on Emerson, but people are being advised to avoid the area if possible. And the National Weather Service is warning about waterspouts. Conditions are good for them to form on Lake Michigan today and tomorrow. Boaters especially are being told to exercise caution due to the potentially dangerous conditions. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Packers with a win at home. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers jumped out to a 24-0 lead and went on to beat the Arizona Cardinals 34-13 in front of nearly 78,000 fans at Lambeau Field in the rain. Jair Alexander asked how important it was for Green Bay to finally get back-to-back wins this season.
It's major. It's definitely, it's hard to win in this league and to, you know, get two in a row. I mean, that's even better. Now let's try to get three.
Romeo Doubs with two touchdown catches. Christian Watson with a 44-yard touchdown reception in the south end zone. Is it true they drew that one up on the sidelines?
100%. I mean, that was something that we didn't even have a game plan. We knew we could take a shot. So, I mean, as soon as we called the play, I knew that it was coming.
NBA, the Bucks host the Bulls tonight in preseason action. College hoops, longtime Wisconsin basketball head coach Bo Ryan inducted last night into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
It was my supreme honor to coach you. I will cherish the memories we share for the rest of my life. Thank you.
For sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms by later this afternoon. Our high near 55. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20 this morning, dying down to 5 to 15 this afternoon. Rain and thunderstorms tonight. Could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch or more. Our low 40. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
I have contacts now. I had glasses when I was 10 years old. I don't know if you ever had something like that. Glasses at 10, you know, somebody puts something on your face at 10, you leave it there. You don't know the difference. I thought I was getting glasses because I couldn't tell what my parents looked like. Because every time I'd ask my mother to buy me something, she'd say, "What do I look like, a bank?" And you know what I was thinking? When you're 10, your parents are the bank. You know what I mean? If I'm 10 and I need money, could I walk into Chase Manhattan and get money? The teller's just going to say to me, "What do I look like, your mother?" Hit the road, Four Eyes. I also had braces. I want you to get this picture now, okay? Glasses at 10, braces at 12. I was thrilled to have these things on my face. I mean, you know, you're thinking about talking to a girl for the very first time in my life. I want a lot of corrective apparatus on my head. This is what women like. I said to my parents, "Let's not stop now. Let's get me a hearing aid, orthopedic."
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
And good morning. It's 8:07. Very happy to have his honor, the mayor of Racine, Corey Mason, with me today. Thanks for coming in, by the way.
Yeah,
I do appreciate it. You know, everybody.
Happy Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, you know.
Is that what it's called, Indigenous Peoples Day?
Yes, it's both now. I guess they use both terms for the day.
Yeah, I was talking to you off the air. When I was a kid in school, way back, you know, I sound like my grandfather or my father now saying, way back when I went to school.
Yeah, back in my day.
Yeah, back in the day when we didn't have, you know, modes of transportation. Anyway, I learned that little rhyme, you know, 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and all, that Columbus discovered America. And we never thought anything about it.
Yeah.
And then we realized, well, you can't discover something when somebody's already here. I mean, somebody else discovered it before you did. And I'm looking today, and they say on Wikipedia or whatever I looked up, Columbus landed in America on October 12th.
Yeah, yeah.
1492. But they changed it, which rightfully so they should have.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when there's already Indigenous people here, it's sort of like, you know, what did you really discover? But even, you know, we know that there were Scandinavians that came several centuries before Columbus into North America, right? So it's a little...
So how did we get this, he discovered America? How did that... Well, but, who started that rumor?
But I think that's certainly what sets off European colonization into the New World after that, right? That's the cultural starting point of it. When Columbus lands in the Caribbean and then goes back and does several voyages, that really starts the age of discovery, the age of colonization. And so, you know, again, there's... Understandable, if you're an Indigenous person, if you're a Native American, you might have a very different view of being discovered or what came about once Europeans started settling in droves. So, you know, it'll be coming together Racine, which is a local nonprofit, is going to do an event on the 24th with the Potawatomi and some other Native American tribes at the Kipikawi Causeway, which is right next to the Christopher Columbus Causeway where the marina goes out there, where they'll be installing a statue of the firekeeper, the Potawatomi firekeeper, and it'll go right next to the Christopher Columbus Memorial Monument. So it'll be an interesting juxtaposition of the two. But more and more, I think people are having acknowledgments that, you know, Europeans did take this land when we came here. We didn't, you know, It was so it's a history that you don't always, or at least again back in my day,
back in the day,
yes, where they just sort of said, wasn't it great that Columbus came and there wasn't really as much acknowledgement of, you know, there were people already here. Like we took this land oftentimes by force from people who were already here. So it's trying to tell both those stories, which I think is important.
You know what it is? When you watch some of these old Westerns, you cringe sometimes when they talk about the Indians being savages you know, they're trying to take land from us. Oh, it's so cringeworthy. You know, even if you watch Bonanza on reruns now, they put a disclaimer before Bonanza saying you're going to hear stereotypes.
Oh, really?
Every time before Bonanza runs on either TV Land or whatever they run it on, you're going to hear stereotypes that are not acceptable today, but were acceptable when the show was first came on the air. And they run it because it is cringeworthy to hear some of this stuff today. Even when you watch Gone with the Wind. Now, I saw that at Marcus ran it not too long ago, the Complete Roadshow. And they give you a little warning before. You're going to hear stereotypes in this movie that are going to make you cringe. But in 1939, it was perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not today. Okay, we've got some serious stuff to talk about. Yeah. First of all, we got the impasse. That's what I'm calling it. I don't like the boycott. It sounds like people were out there with picket line, you know, and, you know, throwing tomatoes at City Hall. No, it's not that. It was an impasse. And we had Melissa Caprillion and Dave Mack in here giving their point of views on it. Give your point of view, because you saw it differently than they did.
Yeah, I mean, so for the last 5 years, we've had a process that sort of streamlines getting through the things through the legislative process. So they go to a committee, and then they go to the full council, and others. And so, for example, you know, we have an ordinance change that came through public safety and licensing to weak the dog bite ordinance, just to give some more flexibility to it. It went through the committee. It got passed by the full council. I vetoed it at the advice of our public health administrator and chief of police. They didn't think it was a good idea to loosen those standards. And when we meet tomorrow, the council will have the chance to override the veto if they didn't like what I did. Right. I mean, those have been the rules. Those continue to be the rules. There was, I guess, a disagreement, I guess you could say, with Alder Caprillion and Widener and others saying, well, we want to go back to the other way where before it goes to a committee, first we have to refer it to the full council, and the full council is going to debate about which committee it might go to. And then from there, it'll go to a committee. And then from a committee, it can go to full council. So it adds an extra step. They feel really strongly that they ought to have that extra step. It does slow things up, you know, 4 to 6 weeks every time you add that extra step. But, you know, the council felt strongly about changing it, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when they changed it. If they feel strongly about changing it back, they can certainly do that. So, you know, we'll move forward. But it's, I will say, you know, for most members of the public, though, it's a very much a process-driven thing, right? It's not about are we gonna do something for the community centers? Or are we gonna do something about, you know, Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day? It's not a thing. It's a process thing. So I think most people are just sort of like, you know, can't you guys figure something out? And I think we have, and so we'll move on.
It took me a while to figure it out.
Yeah.
Even I had Alder Caprillion obviously on the phone the next day, and then she was in here explaining it to me. Dave Mack explained it to me, and I still wasn't sure if I understood it. I think I understood it. I'm not still quite sure because it's a lot of technicalities in there.
It's a lot. It's very much so it's a little bit different. If you've seen Schoolhouse Rock and you know how Bill, you know, I'm just a Bill, that old sort of, you know, I'm just a Bill up here on Capitol Hill, and it goes through, you know,
I've seen that cartoon.
It's got to go through the committee, and then it's got to go to the full thing, and then it has to go, you know, we don't have two houses in the city council, thankfully. We just have, you know, one legislative body, but it was the same sort of, that was the process that we'd used. They want to go to a more drawn out process that sort of gives them first take on even where bills get referred to. They didn't want the clerk to do that. They didn't want the mayor to do that. They wanted the full council to be able to do that. Now, I will say in the 4 or 5 years we've done this, we've moved more than 6,000 items through pretty quickly. You can count on one hand the numbers of things that didn't go through right away. And that was usually because there was either some negotiation going on or we needed to do more research on it before we moved forward on it. But there was just a feeling of like, no, we want to say when and where these items get discussed. And again, it's very much a process-driven thing. It's a little more drama than I think we needed around it. But, you know, if they feel strongly about it, they can certainly change the process if that's what most of the council wants to do.
You know, families have difficulties all the time. Yeah. Families have, you know, differences, you know, even husbands and wives. But you work it out.
Yeah.
And it looks like you're working it out. And that's good because it's a family. I mean, you guys have to work together.
Well, that's the most important. I mean, again, this whole delay. I mean, there were safe drinking water bonds that we didn't pass. There were, you know, developments that weren't getting done. You know, and just to put all that on hold to jeopardize safe drinking water loans and other developments just seemed really a bit much to go to that length of it. But it is what it is. And, you know, if we're going to change it back to the way that it was before, we can, and we'll operate just fine under either process.
Speaking of drinking water, where were my manners? I brought you a bottle of water, spring water. Thank you. Today. And I didn't give it to you when you came in here. I was going to see how you reacted. Then I was going to give it to you. Okay, let's talk about some of the items here that we have on the list to talk about today. And let's see, the workforce, hiring local and being an inclusive employer. What's that all about?
Yeah, really excited. So, you know, we have one of the things that people think about the city is sort of like, what are the policies we approve or what are the services we provide? But one of the things that sometimes gets overlooked is the city has about 900 employees. So we're actually one of the biggest employers in the area as a city, as a unit of government. So we play this role as an employer as well. And so we are in a place, unfortunately, where we have led the annual unemployment statistic in the state of Wisconsin, the city of Racine has, since 1990. So for 34 years, we've been the leader in unemployment. And so you sort of look at, well, how many more people would you have to employ so that we weren't, you know, in that place of that dubious distinction? We're still, you know, the state's at 2.6% unemployment. We're still at 4.4. But it turns out if you could hire just another 600 people here in the city to, you know, get full-time jobs and be gainfully employed, you could really, you know, get us to that state average. So looking at what we've been doing with the city of Racine, we've started a youth employment program to get young 16 to 24-year-olds to intern in different departments. We've started a cadet program for the police and fire department. We've incentivized people who are employees to buy homes here and to live here. And what we have found when we did that is just in the last couple of years, we've gone from almost 50 more employees living in the Racine area. And we sort of did the math on it and said, you know, if in the next 10 years, right now, about a third of our employees live in the city, two-thirds of them don't. And if we could go from a third of them living in the city to two-thirds of them living in the city just over the next 10 years, we would no longer lead the state in unemployment. If we just hired our own people here locally, got them into the training programs, got them sort of apprenticed in the different departments or in the cadet programs. And when we do that, when we hire local, we also diversify our workforce at the same time. So we've had some really good luck with this at the beginning. Again, we've gone from 30 to 37% local residency just in the last few years. And then, you know, our diversity's gone from 20% to 29%. And we've had an increase in female hires as well. So it takes some intentionality, it takes some doing, but it is a reminder that, like, hey, if we want to get out of this distinction of being one of the most unequal places and, you know, leading the state in unemployment, one of the ways we can do that is just our role as an employer. And what we have found is when we market to people who live here and teach them about the opportunities that are here, they want to do these jobs. So we've had some really great progress on it. We'll have a presentation at a council tonight from Keisha Buford, who's our equity officer, and from Jeff Neubauer, who's with Higher Expectations, who works with the city, but other employers too, to try to encourage people to become employed and self-sustainable. So it's really, you know, being intentional about the role we play as an employer and creating opportunities for people who are here who might want access to those good paying jobs that the city has.
We're seeing Mayor Corey Mason, my guest this morning. More with the mayor in just a moment. It's 8:19 at WRJN.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Netflix is very close to controlling the universe. But for now, they're pushing a new talk show hosted by comedian John Mulaney. Variety reports that Netflix executives say they were impressed with Mulaney's interviews during the Netflix is a Joke comedy festival, where Mulroney hosted a segment called Everyone's in L.A. The comedian has also had multiple stand-up specials on the network. The new talker will drop once a week and possibly in early 2025. Fans of the show The Office, whether it's the British or American version, may or may not be excited to hear there is a new iteration of the mockumentary-style comedy headed to Peacock. It's not being called a spinoff, but they are incorporating elements of the previous shows. Variety reports that on the new show, the company that filmed the daily happenings at Dunder Mifflin are filming a new office in a dying daily newspaper. The show is currently being cast. Executive producers include Greg Daniels, who oversaw The American Office, and Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, who created the franchise. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And you can hear Pete Schwabe tonight, 6 p.m. on our sister station, AM 540 WAUK.
Fountain Hills Apartments presents Mary's Unique Boutique pre-holiday shopping. Come shop for your one-of-a-kind holiday outfit with Mary's Boutique. When? Thursday, October 17th. Where? Fountain Hills Apartments at 1100 Fountain Hills Drive in Mount Pleasant in the C Lobby. Shop for your unique outfit from noon till 4 p.m. This is a free event. Refreshments will be offered in the C Dining Room. That's Mary's Unique Boutique pre-holiday shopping on October 17th at Fountain Hills Apartments in Mount Pleasant.
Just who is Peter Barca? Barca is a career politician we simply can't trust. We can't trust him to protect law enforcement because Barca raised money for an anti-police group that called our officers occupying soldiers. Can't trust Barca on the border either. He voted to support sanctuary cities, putting violent criminals before our families. And while fentanyl floods our streets, Barca chose radical politics over our safety. Our veterans can't trust Peter Barca. He voted to cut the benefits they earned and deserve, endangering our families and communities, dishonoring our veterans. We just can't trust a career politician like Peter Barca.
I'm Brian Stile. I'm working to support families, stand with law enforcement, and honor our veterans. Families are struggling to afford the things that they need. That's why I'm working to lower costs and stop wasteful spending. I'm Brian Stile, and I approve this message because together we will get our country back on track.
Paid for by Stile for Wisconsin.
When it comes to accurate, reliable election information for Wisconsin voters, visit the official site. It's myvote.wy.gov. It's the big cheese, you could say. It's your one-stop source for official Wisconsin election information. Find your polling place, see your sample ballot, make sure your registration is up to date, and more at myvote.wy.gov. Sponsored by Wisconsin Elections Commission, aired by Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I've got some good news about prices, especially at the pump. Gas prices are the lowest that they've been in years right now. The statewide average in Wisconsin is about $3.02 a gallon, and there are 10 counties, including Eau Claire and Sheboygan, where the average price at the pump is under $3. Gas prices have been heading south since this summer when Biden and Harris released a million barrels of oil from one of our big reserves to help us avoid a summer gas price surge. And I am all for doing whatever we can to keep gas prices down. So I don't want to hear any more of this talk about tariff taxes on imports. Half our gas comes from overseas. I can't afford to pay more for that. Let's keep our gas prices down. For more Everyday Money news, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
WRJN refreshes hometown radio with our local news and timeless hits. We heard you when you asked for the oldies to come back, and we know how important local news and features are to you, too. So we're doing what you asked for. Brewers, Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and high school sports, along with a renewed commitment to local news and timeless hits.
WRJN. It's 823 WRJN. His Honor, the Mayor of Racine, Corey Mason, is with me today. Before we get to the other topic, I was talking to you off the air. Your kids are in school.
Yeah.
And when it's, what does your parent do for a living day? Kids get up. Well, when I got up, my dad repaired pumps for skyscrapers. And, right, you know, it's important. People want water in their building on the 30th floor, 40th floor. And my dad was responsible to make sure it went up. Gravity brings it down, but somebody's got to push it up there. Some other kids say, oh, my dad is in the produce industry. He makes sure, you know, people have food. Your kids get up and say, my dad runs the city.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty heavy job to say.
It is. I mean, so my kids are 15, 14, and 12 right now. And so they're in 10th, 8th, and 7th grade. But their whole lives I've been an elected official, either as the mayor or before that,
right, yes,
a state representative. Yeah. So they don't know anything else in terms of, you know, dad's always been an elected official. But it is, I think, you know, I mean, I know Eleanor started a case this year, and I think she was a little bit like, well, how long is it going to be before people figure out that, you know, I'm the mayor's kid? But they take it all in stride, but they don't really lead with it, right? I mean, I think they're sort of like,
oh, I would. I would lead with it everywhere I went. If I was the mayor's kid, I would introduce myself. Hi, I'm Don Rosa. My father's the mayor.
They don't do that.
I would.
Because I don't think they want to be treated differently, right? I think they just want to be judged on their own merit. And, you know, all of a sudden you're the mayor's kid. It's like, oh. So, I mean, it's a double-edged sword, too. Sometimes you get more scrutiny when you're the mayor's kid than when you're not.
I went to my father when I was a kid. I said, can we open a hamster store to sell hamster? Because I had a hamster. Yeah. My father said, do you think we can make a living doing that? I said, yeah, everybody would buy hamsters from us.
Yeah.
Could you imagine my father listening to his son saying, could we open a hamster store? He probably went to my mother and said, oh, we got a problem here. Yeah. This kid's not going to make it.
They do occasionally come up with good ideas, though. I mean, he said, Dad, we need more dog parks in the city. Why don't we have more dog parks? So that was, you know, in part from their suggestion. Lots of other people. People love the dog parks. But, you know, they do offer input from time to time. But for the most part, I think they're, you know, they've come to just expect that that's what it is.
And that's good.
They've taken it in stride pretty well.
They got their heads on straight. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
They're doing great in our public schools, right? Like, really love that they're able to take advantage of Racine Unified. And Case and Walden are both great programs. The IB program at Case is phenomenal. And Walden's been a great school for many, many years. So really excited for them to be able to do that and take it all in stride that you're the mayor's kid. So. Yeah,
they do. I would use that. I'd have it on business cards. I would hand them out at high school. Here, Don Rosen, I'm the mayor's kid. I would wear it on. I'd have a T-shirt. I'm the mayor's kid. I would use that for everything I could do it. All right, the Lincoln King Community Center and Clinic. I've talked about this with Jim Sullivan. Now,
So, you know, the end of the month, we're going to break ground on it. But we're pretty excited about it, right? We're, finishing up raising the money for it. But it is a lot of it's from these American Rescue Plan dollars that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris sent to cities like Racine all over the country to recover from COVID. And we're using a lot of it to build this community center. When you think about the COVID, like what's one of the deficiencies we have here? We don't have a federally funded health clinic here. We're one of the few communities in the Midwest that doesn't. And we thought, well, we should build one with these resources. If it's a once in a generation opportunity to put something in place that we don't have, certainly filling in some of these healthcare gaps that we have is going to be able to do it. So it'll be the King Center is just right next door to it. So it'll be a new King Center that'll be, you know, almost 50% bigger than the one that's there now. And it'll have a health center and community center right under the same roof right next to Julian Thomas School. So we're really excited about it.
This is what helps cities grow and prosper, things like
absolutely.
You know, everybody says, we need this, we need things that help the city prosper and grow.
Yeah.
And this is one of them.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. So thanks to everybody on the council and the community that have been pushing for it. And, you know, we're just really excited about it. So look for something towards the end of the month, but we're pretty excited about it.
Let's talk about culture for a minute here, because we talked off the air when you came in. I just went to the 6th Street Theater the other day, which is on 6th Street right off downtown. It's about a block east of Old Madrid, because that's where I get my paella. So the 6th Street Theater is here. It's a storefront theater. It's very small, very up, very intimate. But it was sold out the other day for Misery. And I got to tell you, all the actors were good, and there weren't too many actors in it, but the ones that were in there, the three actors, were outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
And I told you, I grew up going to Broadway musicals and Broadway plays my whole life. I'd pit these people against any Broadway show I've seen.
That's great.
This woman who played the lead role was frightening. You think Kathy Bates was scary in the movie Misery? This woman was frightening. At one point, she made eye contact with me, and a shiver went down my back.
I was scared
to death from this woman.
Yeah,
and she's probably a nice lady when you talk to her. She's probably, you know, she's very. But as the lead villain in Misery, whoa!
Yeah, it is something to be able to see. I mean, you can watch. You know, you can stream anything at home now, right? Netflix or whatever. But there really is something to local theater and getting to see plays performed live.
And the Racine Theater Guild.
Yeah, the Racine Theater Guild, the 6th Street Theater folks do, you know, Snow Dance and all that great stuff. But there really is something to it. And, you know, the Theater Guild here partners now with Fine Arts School that, you know, and they do, the Fine Arts Schools get to use that space to do some of their performances. We're really lucky to have those resources in a community of this size. We have a community of 80,000. We've got two theaters. We've got five community centers. We've got a zoo. We've got two art museums. We've got, you know, a heritage museum. So we're very fortunate with the cultural amenities that we have. And, you know, what makes them work, though, is when people like you actually go to them, right? When people buy tickets and see those shows and come out and say exactly what you said, that was amazing. That was an amazing experience. And I do think there is something about seeing a show live that you just can't describe unless you're sitting in that audience and watching those people perform. I think you just connect with it in a way that's just much deeper than if you're just streaming another video on Netflix or whatever.
Well, we're season ticket holders for like 15 years now, 16 years to the Racine Theater Guild. I'm also going to be a second season ticket holder for the Sixth Street Theater.
That's great.
These shows are, I mean, I went home and I was scared to death. I kept seeing that woman's eyes wherever I went. Yeah. And after the show was over, she smiled and waved at everybody. But that's not how I see her. She'll always be the villain from Misery. Whoa. Great to have you in here.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
The water is comped.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
There'll be no charge. You get a free bottle of water. Not because you're the mayor. Everybody can get a free bottle of water when they come in here. I want to thank you very much, Mayor. I do appreciate all the work you do. The council, you know, even the people we come. We have most of the council members in here. They do a great job. It's kind of a thankless job because 50% of the people aren't going to like what you do. Well, and it's just the way it is.
And those council members, they spend a lot of time at committees, at council, volunteering of their time. They don't get, they pay like $6,000 a year to do it. It's not. You know, it's not for the money that they're doing it. It's because they love this community and they should be thanked.
They get that much money? Yeah. I get more than I do. Anyway, thank you very much, Mayor. Mayor Corey Mason, the mayor of Racine, being here next month again?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll do our Thanksgiving show? Okay. Sounds good. On this Columbus Day. Thank you very much, Mayor. It's 8:31 at WRJN. Let's check news this morning from Civic Media. Here we go.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice presidential candidate Tim Walz campaigns in Wisconsin today with stops in Green Bay and Eau Claire. He tells Good Morning America why he's running.
I watched Donald Trump dismiss the COVID pandemic. I watched him drive an economy into the ground. And I watched Joe Biden and Kamala Harris pick those pieces up.
Also in Wisconsin today, First Lady Jill Biden is in Madison. Senator Bernie Sanders is in Milwaukee. Kamala Harris will be in Milwaukee, Green Bay, and La Crosse on Thursday. Elon Musk's political action committee has taken over a big share of Donald Trump's get-out-the-vote efforts in Wisconsin. Musk's America PAC is reportedly working with the far-right dark money group Turning Point Action. Their combined efforts are said to be focusing on people they've identified as Trump supporters who haven't voted recently. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. More charges could be filed against a Kenosha County educational assistant, with those charges possibly coming from Racine County. Anna Marie Crocker is on administrative leave after being charged with multiple offenses, including first-degree sexual assault of a child under 13. The allegations involve both a current student and a former student. An alleged situation with the former student could lead to the Racine County District Attorney getting involved. Authorities have identified two male victims and are looking into the potential for more. There's a pre-planned police event at a school this week in Racine County. A first responder training event is taking place this week at Westridge Elementary. It'll run tomorrow through Thursday. Mount Pleasant police say while the exercise won't impact traffic on Emerson, people are being advised to steer clear of the school grounds if they can. Watch out for waterspouts today. The National Weather Service says waterspouts are likely to form on Lake Michigan today and tomorrow. The spouts can generate dangerous conditions on the water, prompting authorities to advise caution for those going out on a boat. If you do see one, make note. People are encouraged to report any waterspout observations to the National Weather Service. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Partly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms by later this afternoon. Our high near 55. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20 this morning, dying down to 5 to 15 this afternoon. Rain and thunderstorms tonight. Could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch or more. Our low 40. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
My brothers and sisters and I had this babysitter named Veronica when we were kids, and I was in love with her. I was in love with Veronica. She would babysit us on Saturday nights. And in my head, when I was a little kid, I thought that Veronica was like 25, 30 years old. I was just talking to my mom the other week. I found out that when I was 10, Veronica was 13. So why was she in charge? All she could do was dial the telephone a little better than I could. 13 when I'm 10, that's just like hiring a slightly bigger child. That would be like if you're going out of town for the week and you paid a horse to watch your dog. Like, all right, here is the number where we'll be, and here's where we keep the dog food, and you're a horse. people do that. People always shush animals. They go, hey, shh, shh, shh. They've never spoken.
Tamla sits here at WRJN. So people on Reddit are talking about the weirdest things their parents do, like putting Cheerios in their coffee, using sticks from the backyard as chopsticks, and washing and reusing paper plates. Now, the paper plates thing, I'm not going to say it's weird because we do it. My wife does it. She'll wash the paper plates occasionally and reuse them. Now, I'll take one of those. I use plastic cups at home instead of glass cups. I just do. I don't know why. But I wash them all the time. So maybe it's not that weird, huh? 8:38, WRJN, Love and Spoonful.
What a day for a daydream. What a day for a daydreaming boy. And I'm lost in a daydream. Dreaming about my bundle of joy. And even if time ain't really on my side, it's one of those days for taking a walk outside. I'm blowing the day to take a walk in the sun and follow my face on somebody's new mowed lawn. I've been having a sweet dream. I've been dreaming since I woke up today. It's starring me in my sweet dream. 'Cause she's the one makes me feel this way. And even if time is passing me by a lot, I couldn't care less about the dues you say I got. Tomorrow I'll pay the dues for dropping my load. A pie in the face for being a sleepy bulldog. We'll be right back.
for a daydream. Custom made for a daydreaming boy. I'm lost in a daydream. Dreaming about my bundle of joy.
An airplane, somebody to love, local news and timeless hits at WRJN. She's back today. Yes, Cindy Huber is back, and of course she'll have the artist of record today. When you hear her play the artist of record, which she'll tell you who it is in the 9 o'clock hour, you be the fifth caller at 262-634-WRJN, 262-634-9756, and you'll win the album that of the artist of record. From Time and Again Music and More in Sturtevant, your go-to for vinyl treasures and more. To top it all off, everyone who wins in the month of October qualifies to win an actual record player. Yes, got a couple of them here. So you can play the music that you'll win. All right, that drawing happens October 25th. Timeless hits sound better on vinyl, and you can win them all this week and next week, too, with Cindy Huber and WRJN. Johnny Rivers. Local news, timeless hits, and WRJN. Here's Memphis, 8:45.
Long distance information, give me Memphis, Tennessee. Help me find a party to try to get in touch with me. She could not leave a number, but I know who place to call. Cause my uncle took the message and they wrote it on the wall. Help me
information. Get in touch with my Marie. She's the only one who would call me here from Memphis, Tennessee. Their home is on the south side, high up on the ridge, just a half a mile from the Mississippi Bridge. She was waving me goodbye. With her home drops on her cheek that trickled from her eye. But we were pulled apart because her mom did not agree. And tore apart our happy home in Memphis, Tennessee. Help me information more than that I cannot add. Only that I miss her and all the fun we had. Marie is only 6 years old. Information, please. Try to put me through to her in Memphis, Tennessee.
All right, the secret agent man himself.
Sometimes people change, and not always for the better. Take Senator Tammy Baldwin. What happened? She's been in D.C. for 25 years. Extreme left-wing groups have showered her with campaign cash, and now she's siding with them. Baldwin supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. That's extreme. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. That's just cruel. Tammy Baldwin used to share our values, but a quarter century in Washington has made her just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Hey, a study figured out how long it takes for people to email you back. 90% of people write you back within a day. The majority write you back within 47 minutes or less. Men are slightly faster than women, and a younger person is the fastest to get back to you. I try to get back to everybody who emails me as soon as I see it. But I got to tell you something. I email people. I don't always get it back. If my daughter's listening. No, she's pretty good at it, I should say. It's 848 WRJN, local news, timeless hits.
Fountain Hills Apartments presents Mary's Unique Boutique pre-holiday shopping. Come shop for your one-of-a-kind holiday outfit with Mary's Boutique. When? Thursday, October 17th. Where? Fountain Hills Apartments at 1100 Fountain Hills Drive in Mount Pleasant in the C Lobby. Shop for your unique outfit from noon till 4 p.m. This is a free event. Refreshments will be offered in the C Dining Room. That's Mary's Unique Boutique pre-holiday shopping on October 17th at Fountain Hills Apartments in Mount Pleasant.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
Looking for showers likely today with a high near 56. It doesn't look like it now, but you gotta go by what they forecast. Showers and thunderstorms tonight. Lows 42. Showers likely, then turning partly sunny tomorrow. Right now it's partly cloudy. It's a beautiful fall day. 45 degrees here at Radio Park. Up tight. Everything's all right. Here's Stevie Wonder, local news. Timeless hits here at WRJN. Stevie Wonder, 852 WRJN, local news and timeless hits, and she is back.
Oh, it's nice to be back with you, Don. I sure missed you.
Day one, she was off. She spent the day raking leaves. Day two, she spent getting the house ready for Halloween. And day three, she went out shopping for just the right candy. It took all day, but when you go to the Huber House on Halloween day, you're going to get top choice candy.
Yeah, I'm going to be writing IOUs.
Oh, wait. Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. No. I always make sure there's good
candy. Are you the old lady in the neighborhood who gets her house egged because she didn't give any candy out?
Not recently.
You know, this is true. One Halloween, my wife bought all this no-name brand candy. It was awful. I like to give out Three Musketeers and all the healthy stuff. Milky Ways,
Apple,
Snickers.
Yeah.
No, not that stuff. I give away good candy I want. She gave away this no-brand stuff, no-name stuff, and kids were, at least one set of kids, threw it back at the house.
No!
They took it out of their bag and threw it at our door. And I said, from now on, we're getting Three Musketeers,
yes.
Hershey bars.
Yep.
They don't sell Nestle's bars anymore, do they?
You see them once in a while.
I've never seen Nestle's
bars. You almost have to get the full size for Nestle.
I see you came in with some McDonald's this morning.
Absolutely.
And I've got an odd but true story about McDonald's. In the 1960s, McDonald's tested a hula burger. It was a slice of grilled pineapple and cheese. That's it. Grilled, no meat, grilled pineapple and cheese. They tested it head-to-head with another brand new item they were just putting out, the fish filet. They sold 350 sandwiches of fish filets to six hula burgers. That's all they sold.
Oh my God.
The hula burger was scrapped immediately.
You betcha.
Even McDonald's makes mistakes occasionally.
How in the world do you not know? If you're McDonald's and you have absolutely delicious hamburgers, of which I still eat on a daily basis, why would you
This was the 1960s.
Just give me the hamburger, french fries, and the small Coke.
When I was in Atlanta, they test marketed a burger called the McFeast. It was their answer to the Whopper.
Oh.
And it was the first time it had ever been tested before. I never had one because I didn't, you know, I didn't like all that secret sauce stuff on there. Yeah. But it didn't do well. So that we never, when people outside of Atlanta never heard of the McFeast. But they do these test market things. The McRibs were a test market item.
Oh, I love the McRibs. I get all excited and giddy when those come back.
You know, it's not really spare ribs on there. You know that.
No.
You
don't
know
spoil
that.
The surprise for me.
I mean, I don't want to ruin it for you. It's not really the same as ribs.
Shh. Stop it.
They press it in the shape of a rib, but you know it's not, right?
I don't want
You don't want to know the truth.
Do not tell me the truth.
All right.
I can't handle the truth.
That's right. You can't handle the truth. You want the truth? Cindy's back. That's good. The record of art. Artist of record.
Artist record.
Back again from 9 to 10. You'll tell us who it is.
You betcha.
And then you'll play it sometime this afternoon or this morning. And we'll find out somebody who win a vinyl album. And then October 25th, or just about a week or so away, you'll be giving away a record player.
Yeah. I'm really pumped about that.
Yeah, because if nobody wins it, you think you're going to take it. But somebody's going
to
win it.
Somebody's going to win it, and then I'm going to invite myself to their house to listen to it.
You know how radio people are.
Just to make sure it works.
That's how radio people do things. They figure if nobody wins it, they could take it.
I'll bring some McDonald's.
Hula Burgers.
Yeah, there you go.
Got to find the Hula Burger. Okay, Cindy Huber coming up in just a few moments here at WRJN. I'm Don Rosen. I want to thank you for being here. All right, DC5, glad all over.
You say that you love me.
Say you love me all of the time. All of the time.
You say that you need me.
Say you need me.
You'll always be mine.
Always be mine.
I'm feeling glad all over inside. Glad all over, baby. I'm glad all over. So glad you're mine. I'll make you happy.
Make you happy.
You'll never be blue.
Never be blue.
You'll have no sorrow.
Have no sorrow.
Cause I'll always be true.
Always be true.
And I'm feeling
CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. A deadly commute in New Jersey. A train traveling north from Trenton has hit a tree that had fallen on the tracks. Some of the passengers were injured, but none seriously. But the train operator was killed. More from KYW radio reporter Dave Uram.
The front end of the train, including the windshield, all smashed. A large portion of the tree trunk is pinned under one corner of the front end. Pieces of tree and branches litter the track that train was on.
A 49-year-old man.